This time of year, well, I don't know, for you, certainly for me, always feels a bit fraught with various things, problems, issues, difficulties. Most of us probably notice that it seems every year that Christmas music begins playing in public locations, especially those locations that feature opportunities to buy things a little earlier every year. Before Thanksgiving, that dangerous holiday that is lacking in opportunities to buy large quantities of gifts, the transition to Christmas begins, the music, the lights, the shift of colors to red and green. It all starts happening just after Halloween, if not before. And now we have this relatively new ritual that we have to go through every year on declaring and dealing with the war on Christmas. What sort of cups will Starbucks be offering this year? Will they be appropriately Christmassy? Will we catch neighbors and friends, shopkeepers and cashiers casually wishing us a happy holidays rather than a bold Merry Christmas? Should we say something? Should we go around and wrap ourselves in Merry Christmas swag and respond to those happy holidays with a snarled, aggressive Merry Christmas? Alas, this time of year is full of all kinds of issues. In our quest to get ready for the big holiday, planning and preparing, shopping for gifts, baking and cooking, decorating, and here's a new word that I've come up with, fairing. I know it's not a real word, but you know what I mean. Going to lots of church fairs and craft fairs. Somewhere in all of this, we are missing something. The real issue is not at all the war on Christmas. In fact, Christmas is alive and well, although perhaps a little overly commercialized. But Christmas is all around us, even to the point of saturation. The problem truly at the heart of our seasonal issues is actually the war on Advent. Although it seems odd to use that phrase, war on Advent, on a day when we reflect on peace, alas, Advent, for the most part, has been given the old heave-ho, out to the curb. If it had been snowing, I mean, out to the snowbanks, but we don't have those yet. But Advent is mostly out, it's gone. Sure, Advent hasn't ever gotten much of secular attention. Perhaps all that purple and a little dash of pink doesn't do it for the mainstream. After all, purple and pink don't go well with red and green. Can't have that kind of clashing, now can we? And then there are those themes, hope, peace, joy, and love. Probably too many. Gets a little too confusing. We might be able to forgive secular society for forgetting or even dismissing Advent. Who wants to add yet another thing to a season already stuffed full of so much already? But churches, too, seem to be letting go of Advent, sliding it aside. We do it here as well, at Old South, at least to some extent, as we shift to Christmas well before Christmas. But still, we do try to observe Advent. We're doing so today. And we ought to do so, and perhaps like we've never done so before, we ought to cling to it, embrace it, and let its challenging themes and difficult scriptures and minor key hymns fill us. For we need Advent. For all the ridiculous brouhaha regarding keeping the Christ in Christmas, we could make a good case that you can't have Christmas really at all without Advent. Today, we spend a very brief but significant moment considering the second word of Advent, and that is peace. It may be the most difficult word of all in all of Advent. What does peace mean? What does it look like? How can we consider it even just a little with so much violence and chaos in the world? Especially now, it seems, with so much of it in the world in which we live, that we feel like at times probably that we stand every moment on the precipice of yet even more violence. We live in a world where violence seems to be the default response to almost any and all conflicts, neighbor to neighbor, family member to family member, nation against nation. In our preparations for Christmas, there must be room to prepare and to set about the task of setting aside time, energy, and space to consider, pray, and reflect, just as expectant parents do when awaiting the birth of a child. To prepare for the child, even if we are preparing for what seems like the 100th time, we must prepare, reflect, pray, wait, anticipate, hope, peace, joy, love. During the season, Christians recollect God's ancient promise to Israel for a kingdom where lion and lamb will lie down together. Ministers preach from stark biblical texts like today's about the poor and oppressed being lifted up while the rich and powerful are cast down, about society being leveled and oppression ceasing. Christians remember the Hebrew prophets and long for a Jewish Messiah to be born. The Sunday readings extol social and economic justice, and we remember the cruelty of ancient Rome and political repression. Hymns anticipate world peace and universal harmony. This is the season when Christian tradition considers God's vision of justice for the outcast and the oppressed. As we do in today's psalm, may he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound. Jesus Christ was not born that human beings would spend December shopping and saying Merry Christmas. Jesus was born to confront the rulers of this world with love and justice of the God of Abraham. That Jesus, the same Jesus who preached that the poor and marginalized were blessed, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All earthly powers pale before him, the humble born one who will die a political traitor to Rome. And we follow him. And we follow him. We may stumble at times, we may get lost or lose our way. This is the season that is precisely for such people as we are. A season in which we reflect, pray, await. A time to be renewed as God's people and to do the difficult work of following. The difficult work of hope, peace, joy, and love. This week, the word is peace. And I would encourage you in this week to find any moment and all the moments you can to consider, reflect on, pray without ceasing on peace. Better yet, shalom. That we may not just be renewed, but strengthened as people of peace, of shalom, that we are and will be a people strengthened in righteousness and justice. That when we hear bells, for instance, that we'll take a moment to pray for peace and for our part in the making of peace. As we come to the communion table this morning, that we will open our hearts and our minds to God's vision of hope, and peace, and where we might follow anew, strengthened, and full of grace as people of peace, God's peace, even as difficult as that is, because the God that we worship is present and is with us. Praise be to God. Amen.